Jordan, so near banks I stand, and cast a wishful eye.
Hi, this is Jay Webb of International Gospel Hour. Since 1934, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through International Gospel Hour. Please stay tuned for another lesson on this program by Jody Apple. Are you listening?
For the promised land.
Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 1 of week number 37, studying Mark chapter 9. As we get started in today's study, these reminders. For all of our free materials, just click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. At that page, you will find links to audio and video files, print materials, ebooks, Bible reading schedules, links to all of these IGH 260 broadcasts, links to our Bible study courses, and much more. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Just text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. You will also find that series featured at our Facebook page, facebook.com/International Gospel Hour. These online courses are self-paced. Go as fast or as slow as you want. And, like everything at International Gospel Hour, they are available to you absolutely free. Again, visit igh.worldbibleschool.org or follow the links at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. There are at least 10 free resources that you might want to check out at our free page. First, McGarvey's Sermon on Baptism. Some 30,000 people have already seen it online. Second, the 6-lesson audio series, The Beatitudes, The First Thing That Jesus Taught. Third, the ebook, Receiving the Gift of Salvation. Fourth, the ebook, Surrendering to His Lordship. Fifth, another ebook, Victory in Jesus. Expect Spiritual Victory in Christ. Sixth, links to our online courses. Seventh, a 6-lesson audio series, The Big Questions. It asks and it answers questions about God, the Bible, Christ, faith, redemption, and the Christian life. Eighth, the video class, Spiritual People Worship God. Ninth, daily Bible reading schedules. And then finally, 10th, a 6-lesson online video series entitled Christ Obeyed, What About Me? It emphasizes our need to surrender to Jesus. All of these resources are available 24/7 at our free page, internationalgospelhour.com/free. Did you miss any of last week's study of Mark chapter 8? All of the recorded lessons in the IGH 260 series, studying the New Testament, one chapter per week, going all the way back to week 1, studying Matthew 1, they are always available to freely listen to and or freely download at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. Tune in again today and every day. And finally, before we begin, join the thousands who keep up with International Gospel Hour and visit facebook.com/International Gospel Hour and twitter.com/Jody Apple. Let's start our study of the 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Here are the 2 ways that we often summarize each new chapter of the Gospel records. First, we usually start by summarizing the key words that we find within each chapter. And then second, we summarize, that is, we outline the key thoughts presented in each chapter. The first summary will give us an idea of some of the general teaching that we will encounter as we read, think, and study our way through the biblical text. The second summary will provide more detail than our brief word studies, but nowhere near what we will find as we engage in a verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of Mark chapter 9. We begin that verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study after we conclude these first two summaries. Here's some of what we can learn from a key word study of Mark 9. There are 249 different forms yielding a total of 861 words in the original text. The top three most frequently occurring terms are the same ones that we have found in prior chapters, but the fourth through seventh terms are in a slightly different order than what we have seen in the past. The top three words are those translated as the article, the, who, or which, 92 times, the conjunction, and, also, even, and yet, or but, 73 times, and a pronoun, he, she, it, self, same, and they, when plural. These three collectively account for 230 of the 861 total words, or just under 27%. The fourth through seventh terms are those rendered as I or we 20 times, you or you plural 20 times, to say, speak, or tell 19 times, and the word translated as to be or exist 18 times. These four terms show up 77 times throughout the chapter. Counting all seven of these most frequently occurring terms, we have 307 instances of the 861 word total, or just under 36%. Nothing stands out about the term translated as I or we in the chapter, so we will move on to the next word. The term translated as you, appearing 20 times in the chapter, in both singular and plural forms, merits some attention, especially as we see Jesus directly address certain individuals in this segment of Mark's narrative. The text, when it chronicles Jesus' speech, often specifies or narrows his intended audience, and in some cases individualizes it by using the word you. Though it's usually understood to be a given that when Jesus or anyone else was speaking directly to someone, that there does not need to be any greater specificity than simply turning to that person or that multitude and then saying what he or she wanted to say. But as you read through the chapter, Jesus did not just speak, he spoke to you. The word to was often supplied by translators because the word you often appears in the dative case, telling us that it was an indirect object. The words to you are usually implied in the broader flow of conversation, but in this context, they are not just implied, they are expressly stated. That appears to make the lessons that Jesus conveys, that Jesus teaches, a bit more personal. It applies to you. To make it even more personal, Jesus could have addressed each person present by name, but since those in the audience would have included way too many to do so, in an expedient or timely fashion, Jesus just addressed them generally, using the word translated as to say, speak, tell. And then just a bit more specifically, by referring to his audience, the them, in chapter 8, verse 34, and chapter 9, verse 1, by referring to them as you, a plural form, translated several times here as to you. Jesus did the same thing, this time speaking only to his disciples in 9:13. But I say to you that Elijah has also come. Again, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I bear with you? Both questions appear in chapter 9, verse 19. To the young boy with the unclean spirit, specifically speaking to that unclean spirit, Jesus said, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Whoever gives you a cup of water to drink, and another I say to you, appear in 9:41. And then, in the closing verses of Mark 9, Jesus addressed one's personal responsibility to stay away from sin by warning against sins caused by one's hand, one's foot, or one's eye. Nine times in chapter 9, verses 43 through 47, Jesus made it personal by saying, if your hand causes you to sin. Cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell. What Jesus said three times about sinning with our hands was also said three times about sinning with our feet, and then a final three times about sinning with your eyes. The use of the word you probably does not demand a lot of attention as we read through God's Word regularly, but it definitely has its place in this setting. The term that we have often noted in past studies, the one rendered as to say, speak, tell, appears 19 times in the chapter. It appears twice in verse 1, where Mark tells us, first, that Jesus said to them, and then second, as Mark recorded what Jesus actually says. It appears in his quotation of Jesus' words to the disciples and to those he called to him in chapter 8, verse 34. The second time it appears was in Jesus' sentence, "Assuredly, I say to you." We see the term in chapter 9, verse 5, when Peter spoke to Jesus. We see it twice again in chapter 9, verse 11, mirroring the use of chapter 9, verse 1. Mark tells us that the disciples said something, and then the word appears a second time in the question that they asked. We see the term used in passages that we already mentioned with regard to the word you, as in 9:13, "But I say to you." The word shows up several times in the context of Jesus casting out the unclean spirit from the boy. We see it in 8:18 when the Father spoke to you, disciples. In verse 19, Jesus answered him and said, when Jesus asked the Father how long this had been going on, the Father said, "From childhood," verse 21. The term appears five more times from chapter 9, verses 23 through 29, as Jesus engaged in conversation with the Father, as the crowd witnessed what happened, and as Jesus took the disciples to task for their failure to heal the boy. We see the word twice as Jesus taught his disciples about his future trials, chapter 9, verse 31, and then as Jesus took them to task about their desire to be the greatest, chapter 9, verse 35. Finally, the word rendered as to say, speak, tell, shows up two more times in 9:39 and in 9:41 as Jesus discouraged the disciples from forbidding others who were doing good works in his, that is, in Jesus' name. Because each of the gospel accounts incorporates a fair amount of dialogue, we should not be surprised to see that this term appears near the top of the most frequently used terms for many of the chapters. By tracing its use throughout each chapter, we often get a quick overview of the main characters, of the general theme, and of some sense of purpose within the chapter. That's certainly the case here. We will not address it in detail, but the word translated as to be or exist appears 18 times in the chapter. This term, as we have observed many times before, reflects where people were at that time. There are some standing here, chapter 9, verse 1. What they were doing, they were talking with Jesus, chapter 9, verse 4. It presents assessments of the current situation. It is good that we are here, chapter 9, verse 5. It presents statements about the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him, chapter 9, verse 7. It reflects what something meant, chapter 9, verse 10. How long something continued, how long shall I be with you, and how long has this been happening, chapter 9, verse 19, and again in verse 21. It indicates what our future status would be, chapter 9, verse 35, where it appears twice. It indicates where we are in our relationship to Christ, chapter 9, verses 39 and 40, where it appears three times. And finally, it tells us where we will be if we cause someone to stumble, chapter 9, verses 42 through 47, where the word appears four times. Like much of what we have already seen, this repeats lessons learned earlier. God's word depicted reality. Not present tense reality, not 21st century reality, but first century reality. These were real people, living in real places, experiencing real life events, living in real time then, and the language of the text pictures that in every way possible. This simple term serves as part of that first century depiction of a really existing world. Other terms worthy of brief mention are two prepositions translated as into, to, or for, and in, with, by, or to. These two terms often indicate location: on a mountain, chapter 9, verse 2, in the house, chapter 9, verse 33, or they indicate a spiritual condition: in my name, chapter 9, verse 41, or being at peace with one another, chapter 9, verse 50. The word translated as not or no appears 12 times, often reflecting a point of denial or contrast. The term translated as that, because, since, or why appears 11 times in Mark 9. It explains purpose and reason. The term translated as but, and, or now appears 10 times. It's a conjunction, but it also reflects movement in time. The term translated as to see, to view, or to perceive appears 9 times. The term translated as for, since, then, or indeed appears 8 times in the text. It's another term often indicating purpose and reason. The name for Jesus, 8 times in the chapter. The word translated as to be able appears 6 times. This word was used with reference to both physical and spiritual ability in the chapter. Jesus said to the father of the son, from whom he cast out an unclean spirit, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Here both the word can and the word possible come from the same root. The word translated as to ask or to inquire appears 6 times. Because so much of the dialogue involved questions, we would expect this word to show up several times. The word translated as to come or go, 6 times in the chapter, used with reference to physical coming and going, as well as spiritual coming and going. The word translated as good, beautiful, or wise, 6 times. The word translated as all, every, or the whole, 6 times in the chapter. The word translated as Elijah, the prophet of the Old Testament, 5 times. And then finally, the word translated as son, 5 times in Mark 9. When we wrap up our key word studies, we usually end with these explanations. Remember these two things: the importance of studying words as they appear in a given context, and the limitation of studying words as they appear in a given context. We cannot, by studying words by themselves in isolation, learn everything about their meaning and their use. We must study those words as they are connected, and thus as they relate to other words within a given context. We have not taken the time to examine every lexical tool in order to determine a word's meaning. Our brief overview has provided some, but a very limited perspective about how a few frequently occurring terms were used in Mark chapter 9. As we continue to do this for every chapter, we often see a pattern emerging of how certain words are used across Mark and across the Gospels and across the New Testament. This final caution: our key word studies are only, emphasis on the word only, they are only part of how we read, how we study, and how we learn from God's revelation. Remember also that there are many more unique words that appear in the original text of every chapter that we study, most of which we do not mention. There is so much more to considering the meaning of a passage than looking at just a few frequently occurring terms in passing. Let's move forward and introduce our outlines of the chapter. Here's the brief outline of Mark 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 1, the transition from Mark 8 to Mark 9. Mark 9, 2 through 13, Jesus, Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. Mark 9, 14 through 29, the healing of a spirit-possessed boy, the disciples' inability to do so, the faith of a father. Mark 9, 30 through 32, Jesus and the disciples travel through Galilee. Jesus teaches them about his future. The disciples do not understand. Mark 9, 33 through 37, the disciples' concern about greatness, Jesus' corrective advice. Mark 9, 38 through 40, the disciples reject someone who does not follow us, Jesus' corrective, principles of exclusion and inclusion. Mark 9, 42 through 48, causing others to sin, the dangers, the consequences, and the solution. Mark 9, 49 through 50, salt, seasoned within, seasoned without. Let's move now into our expanded summary of the chapter. We start with Mark chapter 9, verse 1, the transition from Mark 8 to Mark 9. Jesus continued speaking to the disciples and the people he called to himself. See Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and following. Jesus told them that some of them would still be alive in order to see the kingdom of God present with power. In the next section, Mark 9, 2-13, Jesus, Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. Verses 2-6, Jesus and the three apostles traveled to the mountain. Jesus was transfigured before them. Moses and Elijah appear and talk with Jesus. Peter offers to build three tabernacles. Verses 7 and 8 of Mark 9, a cloud covers them. God the Father speaks. Afterward, only Jesus remains. Chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, as Jesus and the apostles leave the mountain, Jesus instructs them not to say anything until after his resurrection. Chapter 9, verses 11 through 13, the disciples ask Jesus why the scribes said that Elijah must come first. Jesus explained that Elijah had already come. In the next section, Mark 9, 14 through 29, the healing of a spirit-possessed boy, the disciples' inability to do so, the faith of a father. Chapter 9, 14 through 16, the disciples challenged by the scribes. Verses 17 and 18, the scribes explained what the disciples failed to do. Verses 19 and 20, Jesus rebuked the disciples. Jesus meets the boy. Verses 21 through 24, Jesus and the boy's father speak. Verses 25 through 27, Jesus cast the spirit from that boy. Verses 28 and 29, Jesus to the disciples. Jesus explained why they failed. In the next section, Mark 9, 30 through 32, Jesus and the disciples travel through Galilee. Jesus teaches them about his future. The disciples do not understand. Verse 30, Jesus and the disciples travel through Galilee, hoping that no one would know where they were. Verse 31, Jesus taught the disciples that he would be betrayed, he would be killed, he would resurrect. Verse 32, the disciples did not understand what Jesus meant, but they were afraid to ask Jesus about it. In the next section, Mark 9, 33-37, the disciples' concern about their own greatness, Jesus' corrective advice. Verse 33, when Jesus arrived at the house in Capernaum, he asked the disciples about their disagreement along the road. Verse 34, the disciples did not respond because they were arguing about who among them would be the greatest. Verse 35, Jesus sat down. Jesus called the apostles to him, and Jesus said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Verse 36, to explain that principle, that truth, Jesus brought a child, and he placed the child in the middle of them. Jesus took that child in his arms, and Jesus said to the apostles, verse 37, "Whoever receives children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not just me, but the Father who sent me." In the next section, Mark 9, 38-41, the disciples reject someone who does not follow us. Jesus' corrective, principles of exclusion and inclusion. In chapter 9, verse 38, John spoke to Jesus. John told Jesus that the disciples saw someone who did not follow them. That person was casting out demons in your name, and we told him not to do so because he did not follow us. Verse 39, Jesus said, "Do not stop him. It's not possible to do miracles in my name, in Jesus' name, and then speak evil of him." Verse 40, those who are not against us are on our side. Verse 41, whoever gives you a cup of water in my name, in Jesus' name, because you belong to Christ, will not lose his reward. In the next section, Mark 9, 42-48, causing others to sin, the dangers, the consequences, and the solution. Verse 42, if someone causes little ones to stumble, it would be better for that person if a millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Verse 43, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It would be better to go through life than to have two hands, to go to hell and ultimately into eternal fire. Verse 44, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. This expression appears in many translations in order to indicate, to emphasize, the severity of life without being in the presence of the Godhead. Verse 45, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It would be better to go through life without your foot, that is, lame, than to have 2 feet to go to hell and ultimately into eternal fire. Verse 46, in many translations, this verse repeats the thought found in chapter 9, verse 44, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, again reflecting the emptiness of life apart from the presence of God. Verse 47, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck your eye out. It would be better for you to enter God's kingdom with one eye than to have both of your eyes and be cast into hell. Verse 48, the description of hell, where worms never die and fires do not end. These reminders as we close. To start our free self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org.
God be with you till we meet again.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope first that it glorified God, but second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in the series by going to the Media tab at our site at internationalgospelhour.com.
God be with you.